was dangerous for people to partake of the Lord's communion, unworthy, when they themselves are unworthy. And it is. But it is just as dangerous for it to be offered in a manner that is unworthy when compared to the Word of God. And if you brethren feel that we ought to offer it, I will concede to do so. However, myself, I feel that we need to more or less have a little more understanding on when that folks can be present, that this is a special occasion, and that's very special. So I think really that I guess I have some mixed feelings here as to how I feel, but really I feel like as children of God we need to be encouraged. I feel like as children of God we need to begin to add on some faith and confidence in God, because He will do what He said He would do. I might read a few verses of Scripture here. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I feel that responsibility. It's a necessity, because God requires me to talk the Word of God. And sometimes I have to talk the Word of God when I would a whole lot rather have not spoken exactly what I had to say. But when it becomes necessary, then there's a woe passed on those that God has sent to preach the Word of God. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. To carry the Word of God, we are obligated to everybody, especially the children of God. But we are also obligated to those who are outside the ark of safety, and that is not in the church. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew. And that's interesting to me, because this is Apostle Paul writing, and he was a Jew of the stock of Abraham. But he says, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without the law of God, but under the law to Christ. He, even when he was talking with people that we would call heathens, with no law or no consciences of the law of God, he talked to them on their level. But yet he stayed himself within the teaching and the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Now, we realize that the Apostle Paul, the only power he had to save was the Word of God. And he even passed that on to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he said, by doing these things, you'll save yourself and them that hear you. When he preached the gospel, those that would hear him obey that gospel, he could claim that he had saved them, which he himself knew very well that he had no power to save, except Christ did the saving. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers therefore with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? In the Olympics over there, those people that went into those races, every one of them ran in the race, but only one won the prize. So run that you may obtain. you and I, each one has got to run this race for ourselves, and we have to do everything that we can do that we might win the prize, and in our case, eternal life with Christ Jesus. And every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. When people strove over there to win the Olympics, well, they were temperate. They were careful that they didn't lose too much sleep. They were careful that they didn't drink the wrong thing. They was careful that they didn't overindulge in food. They were careful to take good care of themselves, their health, and get the right amount of sleep and all that. They were careful in all those things just to win a crown that meant very little, Brother Gerald, just corruptible crown. But we're running a race that the end is life everlasting. So sometimes we have to be very, very careful that we're very, very temperate when things come along. And I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, we don't beat the air with uncertainty when it comes to this way of salvation. We don't come up with ideas and opinions and traditions and doctrines things of that nature as our way of obtaining salvation, but we come by the Word of God only. And we can't afford to accept anything in the church any less than that. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We must keep our own body under subjection. Sometimes, I want to just read a little more here. Maybe that's about all I'm going to do. I don't know. Moreover, brethren, I would that you should that I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. In other words, every one of God's people have had the same experiences. We might have some that boast of great experiences and things like that, but all God's children have experienced the same thing. The Apostle Paul says, now, brethren, all of our fathers, they did these things, and were all baptized with Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. They all really experienced the same baptism. They all had the same spiritual food that God gave them in the wilderness to eat of, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The spiritual rock that Moses spoke to in the wilderness, and there came forth water from that rock. The Word of God said that rock was Christ. That rock Jesus represents that spiritual rock and the spiritual drink that they drink, the water they drink. To you and me, we have the same spiritual water of life. But when with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, this is something we have got to take a hold of. We have got to understand those people had seen miracles from every standpoint, and so have we. We have seen miracles. We have tasted of the same spiritual meat they tasted of, which is the Word of God. We have drank of the same spiritual drink they drink of, which is the Spirit of Christ. We have experienced the baptism. We have experienced everything they did over there. But when trouble came, they were overthrown. And I know there's a doctrine in the world that says it don't matter what I do. I've got eternal security and all that. That's a bunch of foolishness started by the wrong feller. Wonder who the wrong feller is? He's called Satan. I want to read a little more. Now, these things were our examples. These things were our examples. to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They lusted after evil things. Somebody might say, well, exactly what did they lust after? One time, God was feeding them with angel food. Food, angel food. Fall on the ground. All they had to do was pick it up and eat it. And God said, don't save any for tomorrow. Well, some of them were so disobedient till they gathered up some to save for tomorrow. Worms got in it. But what they lusted after, and somebody would say, certainly that wasn't evil. But what did they do? They began to complain. They began to murmur. And they said, we're tired of this old light bread. We're tired of it. We want some meat. While it was fine for them to have meat, it was evil in the fact that they were dissatisfied with the fact that God was taking care of them. And they lusted after evil things. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It is very necessary that we put God first in our life in everything. He must be first. Those of you that's going to school, it grieves me that they stop having the little prayer they used to have in school. It grieves me that they stop acknowledging God. Because we, as children of God, have got a right to put God and an obligation to put God first in everything. We can't even say, look, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to go over there, Brother Lonnie. I know exactly how it is with you. I've got to get over there and I've got to be there at 5:30 in the morning and I've got to do this and that and I'm going to do this and that. And that way I'll get this done and I'll get this done and I'll get this put in place. And at the end of the day, I'll have everything taken care of. He said, don't do that. That's evil. He says, say, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do this. I'll do that. If it's the Lord's will, I'll live and do this and do that. Remember a long time ago, I was a sales manager and I had this big place back there and too big for me. It's over my head. I don't know why I let them get me into that, but I had to walk. It was inside a big mall in Huntsville, Alabama, and I had to walk to go outside, walk through a drugstore, big drugstore. And I'd gone outside and walked back in, and the lady was at the counter, and I stopped and spoke with her because you come to know most everybody in those malls when you work there a long time. And I said, how you doing? And she says, I am just in a mess. I'm just worried. Said, I've gotten where I worry about everything. And I says, well, why do you do that? You can't really do anything about these things. She says, well, I can't help it. Said, I worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week. And I says, well, I can't see why that you should worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, because one day there will be no tomorrow for you. She was a nervous wreck. She says, don't say that. So that's what worries me more than anything else. I'm afraid I won't have a tomorrow. You see, one day you will have no tomorrow. That's why tonight the best thing that we can do is to make sure where we're at with the Lord. Make sure. How do we know where we're at with God? Some Jehovah's Witness boys came by my house one day and come up to the door and says, and of course, you know, you don't have any trouble recognizing them. And it said, could we ask you some questions? Well, the Bible tells me not to receive those people into my house. But he didn't tell me not to talk with them on the back, on the front steps. So I said, yeah, sure. He says, we want to know what you think about the soul of man. Well, I says, when God created man, out of the dust, formed him out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living soul. I said, you can't separate a man from his soul to save your life. You see, when God put breath in us, that is the breath of life from God. That come from God. And when that breath leaves us, you know where it's going? Right back to God. You might think that when my life leaves me here, I'm going to just bypass everything and go right to heaven, or I'm going to bypass everything and go right to hell, but that's not the way it's going to be. He said, then shall the body return to the dust from whence it come, and the spirit will return back to God that sent him. It will be there that the traffic will be directed. Anyway, I guess I was a little insulted, and I said, boys, why don't you get your mind on something worthwhile? What difference does it make what I think about the soul of man or what you think about the soul of man? There's nothing you can do about that. But I says, you asked me a question, I answered it, I want to ask you one, and you answer it. Tell me by the word of God, what must a man do to be saved? And how will he know when he has done that by the word of God? Guess what? They're out peddling their trash, trying to deceive people into believing a doctrine that is as though it came and was penned right from the hand of the devil himself. But when asked, what does the Bible say you and I have to do to be saved? And how will we know by the word of God when we have done that? They couldn't even answer it. Isn't that kind of strange? Since they couldn't answer it, I asked them to let me just answer it for them, and I did. And you see, for us to be saved eternally, we must obey from the heart the word of God, or he says the form of doctrine that was delivered unto us, and being then made free from sin, to yield ourselves servants unto righteousness. Just to go down to the altar somewhere, seek God till you feel the presence of God in our life. Maybe even feel the quickening power of Him move on our body. And get up and leave the altar. Then we can't still be a child of God except we live the kind of life He has commanded us to live. 1 John 3:8. He tells us, whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Think about this. I have said often that these young men told me a story about it and left. They said what they enjoyed it, and I knew they didn't. Get back up here. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Let's look at our life. Let's examine our life. Let's draw near with a full assurance. Every man that striveth for the masters is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, even the Apostle Paul knew that he could fail. You and I can fail. Moreover, brethren, I would not that have you ignorant, how that all our brethren, all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And I don't want to go on through all that again, but we have experienced and had all the same experience. You and I have had the same experience that the Apostle Paul had. Maybe you didn't get snake bit. Maybe you didn't get shipwrecked. Maybe you didn't get beat and left for dead. Maybe you didn't get tied to the stake and beat all the times like Paul did. But you have had the same kind of troubles in your life. You have had trouble. And listen, the chances are sometimes we've had just as much as we could bear. Sometimes we can be persecuted, and somebody can look at you and say, well, that wasn't anything. You ought to have to go through what I went through with. But maybe that's all they could bear. I went to an old preacher one time, and I said, I want to know something. You had an old man, and you've had a lot of experience. Tell me, how many people have you seen turn to God in times of prosperity, good times, or in times of extreme poverty? And he didn't hesitate. He said, in the time of poverty. When people are prospering, they don't need God. They don't think. They're making it on their own. But when they get in trouble, and God even said, when your troubles come, you'll seek me. You'll seek me early. Beloved, today, we need to be seeking God. We need to be seeking God. I'm going to ask some questions here in a little bit, maybe. He said, don't be idolaters as some of them, as it was written. And he goes on, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It is necessary that children of God make sure that God stands first and foremost in our activity, in every bit of our activity. No plans made that coincide and is in resistance to God's word. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 people of God was destroyed because of fornication. And the sad thing about it is, so many people don't even know the meaning of the word. The word can simply mean a spiritual fornication. Taking the love, the admiration, the honor that belongs to God and giving it to something or someone else. That is called spiritual fornication. How do I know that? He's talking about the very time when they went down there and they took all their earrings out of their ears, all the rings off their fingers, all the gold band, chains they had around their ankles, and all the gold that they had with them, and they gave it to Aaron, and he took it and he threw it into a fire, and they built that fire up so hot that it melted and began to run out on the ground, and it looked like, sort of formed out like a little old calf, and he took with graving tools and he formed it till it looked like a calf. And those people started shouting. And dancing. And carrying on because they'd found a religion that made them feel good. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Since I said it coming down here, I'll say this. Every time I have ever seen a bunch of people that split themselves off from God's church, the first thing they do is they set up a worship and they start telling people how God's blessing them more than they've ever been blessed. They're just having such a good time, and that'll last a little while and then they're gone. And that's about the way my experience, and I've experienced a lot of it. Spiritual fornication. 3,000. One day, 23,000. That's a lot of people, isn't it? 23,000 people, 23,000. Never let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Well, I realize that the serpents come out among them and begin to bite them over there. But this was a lesson to us. You know how the serpent destroyed the human race in the beginning, third chapter of Genesis, I guess it was. And when the woman Eve had to give account for her sins before God, you know what she said? The serpent beguiled me. The serpent destroyed her. The serpent. How did the serpent do that? Because the serpent had lent his body to the devil. These things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't ever come to the place when we start following our own selfish desires, lust, and come to the place where we think we're living right and doing it. Because we deceive ourselves, and as I said, there are people that will say, oh, you can't fall from grace. Their doctrine don't come from the Spirit of God. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Boy, you and me are not long rangers in anything we face. We're not even, one place he said, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that'll follow you as though some strange things happen unto you. For after we have suffered a while, he said, then he will settle us. And he'll establish us. Nothing has happened to any of us that children of God hadn't suffered. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Now, he didn't say he would not suffer us or permit us to be tempted, but he said he won't allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I guess when I read that, My mind wanders back to the olden days when under an old bush arbor, old Brother Chum McCutcheon, I thought he was 100 years old then. He must have been a pretty young man. Quoted that scripture. And in his old southern grammar, he says, "Now when you're tempted, don't look at the temptation. Look for the escape." Because he says, he'll make a way for your escape. But the old Brother Chum used to say, "Don't look at the temptation. Look for the escape." And he'd say, "It'll be there. And it will be there. Because God said it. Not because I said it, but because God said it. Also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." You might not go and get shot through it, but you'll be able to bear it. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Don't want to take up much time on that one. But anything in the world, if it is a dollar bill, or if it's $1,000, or if it's a new automobile or an airplane, or anything you can think of that we begin to covet after, we can let it get between us and God and become an idol to us and destroy our soul. We are to be a separated, different people. "I speak as to wise men judge you. What I say, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." I don't want to continue to read, but he says, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." He goes on to ask us, "Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." And that wealth is in italics there, so it doesn't necessarily mean just wealth. "But seek that we might edify and be a help to one another." So I'm going to drop it down. I'll read a little bit more here. "Be ye followers of me, even as I am. I also am of Christ." And he says, "Keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you." These ordinances are to be kept. They're to be kept in the way that he delivers them to us. These are things that we must, as children of God, take into consideration that it is our responsibility for our own soul. I have seen lots of people start off in the way of the Lord. I have seen some that didn't go far enough to really receive the Spirit of God in their life, and they just had a miserable existence until they recognized the fact where they were. Now, somebody might say, "Well, boy, I wish you hadn't said that, because Satan works me in that way." Well, I'm going to tell you what to do about that. If you and I know that we're not where we want to be with God, what are we going to do? Sit around and mourn over it? Are we going to sit around and worry over it? I'm going to tell you what to do. There is a God that is all merciful, and He's looking down at our life, and He's got a perfect order in the way it's supposed to be done. And you and I want a closer walk with God. Little sister, I'm going to tell you something. God has got a great work for you and me and everybody else to do. And if you've ever lost out in the woods and out in the swampland or where all the old cottonmouths and things is running around, you'd like to see a light. And boy, when you saw that light, I've been lost out in the open water. And I looked all around. I was out there a while back, and man, I could see 1,000 lights look like. Well, one time I got lost out there, and I don't know why, but I left it out, swept a long ways out, because I couldn't see any light anywhere. And that's the way sinners are today. They're lost, and they can't see a light. They might see some lightning bugs or something like that, but you and I are the light of the world. And when, no, I thank you, God. When you are out there in your work, and somebody sees a little young girl out there, and she's among a whole bunch of little Jezebels, and they can see that they get up in the morning, and they're just as solid and as chaste and as discreet as they can be this morning. 2 weeks from now, you see them again, and they're that way again. Maybe they make a little bit of fun of the way you dress and say, oh, you don't have to go around dressed like that. You can do this and you can do that. Believe it, you go around here and expose yourself. Well, that's the devil's way. That's not. But if you live holiness out there somewhere, you'll have somebody coming to see you. Or you'll have somebody, just like I worked with an old boy, that he wanted to be over everybody in the job place. He wanted to have a boss's job. You know, bosses, they don't want anybody like that. The boss is not likely to promote a fellow like that at all, because they know as soon as he gets promoted up, well, he'd be looking for their job. But this guy, he just does a lot of ministry to everybody, and I worked with him for several years. While back, I'm going down the road, and this car come around me and started waving for me to stop. And I pulled over and stopped, got out, and it was this guy. He come walking down the road, big smile on his face, said, I just want you to know something. I turned my life over to the Lord, and you're responsible. You know what? He acted like he hated me when he was working with me, because he wanted a job that I wouldn't even take. I just quit the job, said, you just have to, let me get out of this. And he wanted it. He acted like he hated me because of it. But when he decided he wanted to live for the Lord, he learned that that was the way to peace. There's peace in this. There's joy in this. Did you know tonight? Listen, how long we say? 2 hours? He says we're going to leave early if I preach 2 hours. If we don't you? If we don't have joy in our life, there's one place it's going to come from. And you know what we have to do? We have to find that place. I've seen old mothers when they took their little old sons that they just loved so much, and they carried them off to war. And when they left, they thought, I'll never see my son again. I've seen those same old mothers, Brother Gerald, get out there behind the barn and start praying. We used to have a Baptist preacher who lived just about a quarter of a mile from our house. World War II come along. Those boys started going off, all the young men, 18 years old up, they just herding them up, carrying them. Some of them never been to Decatur, 15 miles up the road in their life. Never been away from home, but they shoved them off over in Japan, Germany, South Pacific, all down those islands. And the boys being killed, what have you. And that old mother of mine, here out there, out behind the barn, out behind the house, when she thought everybody was gone, crying out, pouring out her heart to God. Old Baptist preacher, old brother Sid Berry, they had a big meeting down there at the Baptist church, and some of them says, do you think that brown boy will ever make it back? He said, yes, he'll make it back. He'll make it back. He's got a mother down there that's calling on God every day for him, and God will see that he makes it back. That's what kind of light children of God in the world. There will be a bright and a shining light. And when time comes that these people have got to have help, guess who they're calling for? Yesterday, and I hate that I hadn't got there, but yesterday, one of the brethren come and had him go up at the restaurant, and he says, I just went to see a certain fellow down there, and he said, he is begging me to get you to pray for him. Now he's dying. He lived a rotten life. It may be too late. I said, well, we'll go down there at 7 o'clock. He said, we can't go this evening at 7. I hadn't been. That was last night. I tried to ask God to help him. But there comes a time when people waste their life away and the hand of death begins to press upon their soul. There's no hope. And guess what? I read in the Word of God where God has said, don't pray for this anymore. Don't pray anymore. I read in the Word of God where God says, when your calamities come, I called you and you wouldn't come. I sent, pray, you wouldn't come. You put it in all my counsel. But when your calamities come, when your fear comes upon you as a whirlwind, and your calamities come as a desolation, he said, then you'll seek me early. But I'll laugh at your fear. I'll mock at your calamities. I want you to think how awful that would be for a people to get in that shape. That's why it's necessary for us to be a light in this world. I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I always do, so I'm not going to apologize. I want to see us as children of God recognizing that we have God living with us, the greatest thing and the most precious thing God has ever known to give to mankind. What is that? That is His own Spirit. Most precious thing in the world. Nothing is more precious. You can get out here and slander anybody. You can slander the president. A lot of folks do that. Not me. But you can. And actually, God might forgive you for it. He said He would. But He said if you speak one word against the Holy Ghost, you'll never be forgiven in this world, neither the world come. Today, the way you treat a child of God, the way you treat a child of God, man, a lot of you ladies here don't have a husband, so they'd really like to hear what I'm fixing to say. But if your husband is a child of God, the way you treat him is the way you're guilty of treating Jesus Christ. You know why? At the judgment, He's going to say, I was sick, and you ministered unto me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. The children of God are going to be standing over there and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? He's going to say, in so much as you done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you done it unto me. Boy, I'm going to tell you something, sister. I don't want to ever hurt that wife of mine's feelings enough to make her cry. I'd be afraid to do a thing like that. You know why? She's a child of God. Y'all get with me on this. Y'all get behind me on this. You got a husband, he's not treating you just like he ought to. Be good to him. And pray for him. And guess what the Lord promised you those prayers would do. I want you to think, I was watching old Junior well some yesterday. And man, he had that welder going and that thing was blowing big old, big old sparks. And you know those sparks sometimes, you know how they are. They're hot. And those sparks just flying everywhere. Well, I kind of moved back a little bit out of the way because my hair is pretty dry and it would burn easy. But you know what the Word of God tells me? That if somebody is not, if you're doing your best you can do, treat people good, and they still treating you wrong and not doing right, you begin to pray for them. And you seek God, and God said you will heap coals of fire on their head. Now, I won't tell you what happened, Brother Elijah. You had this to happen. I know you run a torch too long not have this to happen. Some of them coals of fire get up there on top of that head. You don't throw everything down and start slapping. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to do everything you can to correct that problem. And that's what that makes it very uncomfortable. You want to be a help to people, be good to them. You want your little husband to come to God, pray for him, let God bring misery on him, but you be good to him. Same thing happened, Brother Gerald, to the husband. I married a little woman that didn't have the Holy Ghost, and she was a good girl, very good. And I didn't make her promise a lot of stuff. A lot of guys did before we got married. I says, we got engaged. I said, there's just one thing I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to make me one promise. And she was a good girl. She went to church. I didn't know anything about this way that's called holiness. But I said, I believe in kneeling down and praying. Before I go to bed at night, I believe in praying. I'm going to ask you to promise me you'll always pray with me. Why? She believed in praying too. But you see, if we pray, when people pray now, I'm not talking about make a mockery, but when people pray, there's no harm in them. You see old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, out killing people, testifying, witnessed to the stoning of God's preacher, Stephen's over there. Got letters of authority, we'd call them warrants, to go over there and arrest and carry women, men, any of them that was Christians, and put them in prison. But Jesus spoke to him. And boy, he went over there and he went in the house and he sat down and he started praying. And God spoke to Ananias over there and says, go over there. Saul is praying. But before he told him Saul was praying, Ananias says, Lord, I've heard a lot about this man. I've heard about him. And he's persecuting the children of God. And your martyr, Stephen's, he's a witness against him when he was killed. He was scared of him because he was dangerous. Jesus says, go your way. Fear nothing, for behold, he prayeth. You see, when people pray, they're not dangerous anymore. They won't be dangerous. And guess what? They'll heap coals of fire on their enemy's head. Today we can have a closer walk with God. And if you and me don't feel the joy of our salvation, I'm going to tell you how to receive it. And I'm also going to tell you how to get in a battle that you'll think it very strange concerning the fiery trials that'll follow you. When you start drawing near to God, he says, draw near unto me, and I'll draw near unto you. But when you start drawing near to God, how you do that? He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. First thing you got to do is quit committing sin. If you're a child of God, you've already quit that. And then he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Quit being double-minded. Well, I'm going to live for God if this or that don't happen. If that happens, I don't know if I can make it or not. Beloved, we got a commitment. Make that commitment to God and die before you change from it. A fellow was talking to me just a while back about everybody committed sin. I said, what I'd like for you to do is just think about all those old early Christians that were martyred for the Lord's sake. All they had to do was sin one time, and they wouldn't have killed them. The Word of God said He sold some of them in two, fed some of them to wild beasts. They burned some of them at the stake. They beat some of them to death. They crucified them. All they had to do was sin one time. One time. I said, if they had believed your doctrine, they would still be, they'd have never been martyred, would they? No. If you and I live for God, we will die before we will sin. That's the doctrine of the Bible. I've taken up a lot of time. I love you. Love the way of God. I'm going to ask you, if you'd like to seek God, come around. Let's all pray.